Volvo S90, the last word in advanced technologies as standard. Volvo, proud sponsors of The Last Word on Today FM.
Okay, last week we spoke about diesel cars, falling production, the reduced value for second-hand diesel cars, and hybrid was brought up by a lot of people. Should they go that way or should they go to petrol? So we've asked Michael Sheridan for The Last Word on Wheels today to talk to us about value in hybrid cars for motoring. Thanks for joining us.
Well, there's a lot of lot to be said for it. At the moment, the only growth area in terms of propulsion, what's making our cars go, diesel are dropping, petrol is on the rise, hybrid is on the rise, and plug-in hybrid is on the rise. And surprisingly, electric, pure electric, is showing a little bit of a dip, but that's only because we're waiting for new Leaf to arrive, which is a terrific car. So I expect that to really help the EV sales, and Renault Zoe as well has got to pick up and take off.
Let's stay away from the EVs for today.
So hybrids are fantastic.
Just explain what a hybrid is to the uninitiated.
Okay, a hybrid is a mixture of an engine that burns fuel. It's petrol. There are some diesels, but predominantly an engine which burns fuel, and it's combined with a motor. So it's like the same as an electric motor out of a washing machine. It's just an electric motor, and it has a battery pack that provides power to that motor, and the motor and the engine combine to turn the wheels. So you get the torque of an electric motor. So electric motors deliver power instantly. Like when you flick on a switch, it goes up to full speed straight away, and then the engine complements it. And the ideal use for a hybrid car is in the city, where there's a lot of stop-start. So you can use a lot of the electricity which has been regenerated, and for all your crawling around in traffic and every time you're moving around the place, you can get by pretty much on electric power only. The car will do the thinking for you and it'll decide, I've got enough electricity to do this.
So how is the battery charged?
So the battery is charged by the engine. Okay, this is now in a straightforward hybrid. So everything is contained within the box. You don't have to do anything. You don't plug it in. It's not a plug-in hybrid or anything else. So you have a battery pack, which is a reasonably modest-sized battery pack. And the engine, when it senses that the battery is below a certain amount of power, it will then divert power from the engine. And using pulleys and belts and all of the wizardry and mechanical stuff, it will charge up the battery. Also, your wheels, every time you release the accelerator and you start to decelerate or you apply the brakes, will regenerate electricity like a dynamo in an old bicycle. So the force of that you've built up in all that hard work, burning fuel and getting your momentum going, when you lift off, you're getting some of that power back.
What's the lifespan of that battery? How often does it have to be replaced?
They tend to be guaranteed for the lifetime of the car, which manufacturers say varies between 8 and 10 years. So there hasn't been any issues. There hasn't been any massive recalls.
You don't end up with a massive bill, say, 4 years in of having to replace the battery in a hybrid, do you?
No. They're surprisingly robust and reliable. And the nice thing with the hybrid is everything is done for you in the box itself, because we know there's people and their car, the last thing they're going to do is lift the bonnet or have a look underneath it. They just want to get into it and go. And that's fantastic because we have cars that are that reliable. The only downside is because you're adding more bits to your car, it's going to cost you that bit more. Because if you've got a petrol car and you add bits like a hybrid components and so on, you're going to have to pay for them. So you're looking at a price point. So people have to do the math between how much mileage do I do and does it justify going from just a regular petrol car to a petrol hybrid.
But how much mileage do you reckon you'd need to be doing in a year?
You need to be doing close to the diesel mileage that people say. So if you're doing anything more than sort of 12, 13, 14,000 kilometres, you need to think hard about, well, I need to look at the fuel that I'm using. If you're doing less than that, if you just use your car in and about town and your drive down to the shops and drop the kids and whatever else, a petrol car, which will be in the budget sector, like in the small car sector, about three grand, even four grand cheaper than the hybrid version, that buys you an awful lot of fuel. So you need to do the math yourself.
Okay, just before we go to individual cars, did you mention last week as well that they're all automatic?
The majority of them are. There's some hybrid systems, and this is where it can get complicated, which will allow a manual gearbox, but the majority of hybrid cars on sale are automatic. So they use what's called a CVT gearbox, which is a single sort of conical gear. So it does all the gear shifts for you. For a lot of people, that puts them off. But when you get used to driving an automatic, when you go from a manual, it is so easy and it makes your life so stress-free, particularly if you're in town or stuck in the M50. An auto is much, much easier on your legs. And you don't have to join a gym for your right leg because your left leg, which would be up and down in the clutch, isn't getting the workout. So you can be balanced and walk in a straight line.
Let's talk about something. Okay. Talk to me me about entry-level hybrids.
Okay, so we're looking at budget entry point. There's a brand which is fantastic. They're a specialist in making small cars. They're from Japan, and people who know their cars are already shouting out Suzuki. So Suzuki makes some terrific little machines, and they've got a very simple little parallel hybrid, which is a very economic way of electrifying your vehicle. So they have the Ignis, and they
what
also have the Swift.
Parallel hybrid?
Now, it works because it can work independently of... It doesn't have to go through the electrical... electrical motor, send its power through the electrical motor to in the same way that an engine would have to go through the electrical motor to deliver power. There's complicated bits that are quite technical. So if we just say it's a 6 kilo additional weight gain, it's quite a small amount of componentry that has to go onto it, and it works very well. It doesn't give you pure EV only performance, but it adds a lot to your economy, and it makes starting and moving off very smooth because you're using the hybrid power to get you on the road. So that starts at about 17 grand. Now that's a few grand more than your entry level Ignis, but if you want hybrid and if you're in the urban environment, it's pretty good.
What else do you have in the entry level? Although you have an expensive one in what you call it.
I do as well, because again, in size, it fits in there. So next up, Toyota Yaris. Yaris is a staple diet. It took over from the Starlet years ago. It's a huge perennial seller. And Toyota make a great range, as we know from talking to Steve Tormey last week. They make a great range of hybrid cars. So the Yaris is about 19.5 grand. Again, for I think 16.5, 17, you get yourself into a normal petrol-powered Yaris. The hybrid is going to cost you that bit more, but it is going to deliver very good fuel consumption, and it's lowering your CO2. So the emissions are lower because there's less strain on the petrol engine. So you're doing your little bit to save the planet. Now, Hyundai Ioniq. Hyundai are a huge brand in Ireland, the Korean brand. They're fantastic. Now, last year, they brought a whole lot of attention to electrifying cars because the Ioniq is quite a compact car inside, doesn't have a particularly big footprint on the road either, but it's available in three forms: plug-in hybrid, electric only, and also hybrid. And it's pricey, it's up around the 30 grand mark, but it's very good. And because Hyundai have that dealer network, like the Hyundai Tucson is the biggest selling car in Ireland, they have that network, so they can do their bit to push these cars.
Okay, what about the mid-range? Although the Hyundai Ioniq is close to your mid-range price anyway.
It is in price, but it's still relatively compact in size. So your
first choice to me is the one I think everyone famously... The Toyota Prius is about 20 years old now.
Yeah, it goes back to 97. I drove the Mark 1 back in 1997. And we're on to our third generation. We even have a plug-in hybrid version of it as well, which is very good. And it delivers now the mileage. It delivers on all the promise and all the hype. It lives up to it. Now, its styling is still a little bit Star Trek for a lot of people, so it's a hard enough thing to look at for some. I personally think it looks pretty cool, and you can get decent MPG out of it. Again, you're talking low 30s, 31.5, thereabouts to start you off. If you want to cut a bit of a dash in Dublin 4, the old Golf, which looks like a Golf, the Golf GTE, that's a hybrid version of the Golf. And because it's got those letters GT, we're saying, oh, it fancies itself as a bit of a performer. And it is. It's very lively, a lot of fun, and it is a hybrid. So you get all the breaks of having a hybrid, lower CO2, but you get a bit of performance. Another Korean, the sister company of Hyundai, Hyundai Kia are probably the fourth largest car maker in the entire world. And Kia is the junior partner of this group, but Kia has its Niro, and the Niro is available as a hybrid for about 30 grand. You can get a plug-in hybrid for about 35 grand. And it's a very comfortable machine, and you know, they bring in one spec with all heated seats, heated steering wheel, all the kind of stuff you can get. And it's a lovely thing and very good around town because it's not too big or intimidating.
But if you've buckets of money to spend,
buckets
on
of cash,
hybrid,
and you feel like doing a pulverizing Conor McGregor impression, go get an i8. An i8 is simply a
BMW
car that you would want. Yeah, and it just happens to be a hybrid with a tiny, comical 3-cylinder 1.5-litre petrol engine and electric motors and stuff doing the business, and it literally is astonishing. But it's 161 grand. The whole Lexus range, virtually all of their range is hybrid, and you can go from your entry-level sort of NX SUV crossover right up through to the LC and the LS, and they're gorgeous, and they'll cost in excess of well over 110 grand.
And Volvo also, the XC90 comes in a hybrid version.
There's the TH, which they call a twin engine. So you've got, and again, this is a plug-in hybrid as well. So it combines the best of a really decent petrol engine, but also the electric motor to give you that really rapid acceleration. And that's the joy you can have from, at the premium end, they deliver performance as well as sort of economy and also reduce CO2. So these big, huge barges, which cost in excess of 70, 80, 90 grand, have really low annual road tax because their CO2 is so laudably low. But everybody is going towards hybrid because it's the quick fix now. And there's even a thing called, people might, another thing we'll throw into the spanner here, a spanner into the works, is the 48 volt hybrid, which is a new thing which can be bolted onto a regular car. And they're doing this with a lot of regular cars. It doesn't take up too much space in the car. It just changes the voltage, it puts a battery in and gives you greater fuel economy as
Questions coming from listener. Yes. Deirdre in Kilkenny, what happens if you want to tow a trailer or a caravan? Can you tow with a hybrid?
Not that many of them are certified to tow, because the battery packs tend to be positioned in the boot or under the back seat. The Kia Niro I was in last week has a towing capacity of, I think, 1.3 tonnes braked. So you need to check with the manufacturer. A lot of electric cars lose that towing capacity because of where they position the battery pack.
William wants to know, aren't hybrids good for motorway driving, say at 120 kilometres per hour?
You know, day in, day out, hybrids, like motorways, only slightly better than EVs because they don't get much of a chance to regenerate any of their power. But you can set them so they'll regenerate power, but you're generally going to be using your petrol engine all the time on the motorway. But you will have stored up enough electricity that when you get to a town or a village or whatever else, you can take pleasure in knowing that you've actually helped reduce the pollution in the air by driving around the place in EV mode because you'll have charged up enough.
Okay. Listener says, lifetime of car now, 8 to 10 years. How is that eco-friendly when it's so destructive and polluting to build new cars?
Yeah, you see, there's a bit of an old rock and roll swindle, whereas, like, you know, the fashion industry will have you changing your frock every other season. The car industry will get you change them as frequently as they can because they're in the business to do that. But the only saving grace that allows us to say getting into new vehicles is a good idea and churning them over is they're more efficient, they'll have greater safety aids, and the technology is improving all the time. And battery tech is improving all the time.
What about BIK on hybrids? The listener wants to know, any incentives?
Well, we have on plug-in hybrids and electric vehicles. Pure hybrids themselves don't really get much. They get a nominal VRT rebate grant, but that's disappearing because they've gone completely into mainstream now. So really, you have to ask your dealer, what's the net price that I'm paying for this car? Because, you know, there are some grants, but there's not enough to really make you go, this is fantastic. So it's that trade-off between regular engine or paying for the extra few bits that go into a hybrid, is it worth your while?
Resale value. After 8 years, what will you get?
Hybrid is a buzzword, and if the car is economical, reasonably green, has low CO2, and these cars will have lower CO2 than their petrol equivalents, that's always worth something because annual road tax is still based on CO2. So there will be a value in the car down the line once you don't do massive mileage and treat the car fairly. So same rules apply, really.
Robert says, what about the best-selling PHEV in the world, the Mitsubishi Outlander PHEV? Fantastic car. Can tow up to 1,500 kilograms braked.
Yep. So the Outlander really was a godsend for Mitsubishi, and it's a terrific vehicle. When you see the letters PHEV, that means a plug-in hybrid. When you see BEV, that's battery electric vehicle. The Outlander is a huge seller, very, very popular, and was one of the first in that whole plug-in grouping that came in, and it came in at a very good price, and it's a one Mitsubishi well worth looking at.
We've got to leave it there. Thank you very much, Michael Sheridan, for our weekly Last Word on Wheels.
The Volvo S90, the last word in advanced technologies as standard. Volvo, proud sponsors of The Last Word on Today FM.